to celebrate together. We have a small gift for everybody who's here for the very first time, a gift of popcorn. To thank them for popping in, you want to introduce this young man here?
Yeah, my father.
Tony, welcome. Glad that you're here. Is this your first time here? No, how about you? How about you? Have you ever been here before? Oh, shoot. Okay, anybody else here for the very first time? This gift of popcorn. Thanks for popping in. We're glad that you came. What's your name?
Kay Strauss.
Kay Strauss is here, right? And then a couple other new folks who've been here for the very first time. Welcome. Glad that you're here. You've been here before. Well, then forget it. How about you guys? Just giving the popcorn away. You can have popcorn with your turkey at Thanksgiving. What a wonderful day to be in God's house for
you. Good morning. I'm Joanne Jocelyn, and I'm here to welcome you and to point out some things out of your bulletin. They pretty well run right down the line here at Charge Conference tonight at 6 p.m. at the First UMC in Lafayette. I hope you can be there. Tomorrow night is a dinner honoring Mozart Abadou, our missionary in Ghana. So if you can come to that, Mary Beth would like to have your RSVP so they can prepare adequately this dinner, and you please bring a side dish or dessert. The community Thanksgiving service is Tuesday night, 7 p.m. at Mount Calvary Vineyard. Again, that's to help honor our Thanksgiving. Notice that it's Tuesday night. Next Sunday, we hang greens following the worship service. We'll get all ready for Christmas at that time. Event Marketplace is the week after that, and you'll notice several other wonderful announcements there in your bulletin. And while I've got your attention, I'd like to point out the flowers. They are a gift for Andy Cowell's birthday from his parents. Now, will you please rise and greet each other in the spirit of Jesus Christ?
Tell one another one thing that you're thankful for. One thing.
Thank you.
song in our mouths, a song of praise to our God.
We believe, and many that will see your help, and put their trust in the Lord.
Blessed are they who trust. Who presents these children? On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, as their parents, do you renounce the spiritual forces of evil and reject the powers of wickedness of this world and repent of your own sins? If so, say, I do. Do you accept the freedom and power that God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever form they may present themselves? If so, say, I do. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your own Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, say, I do. We nurture these children in Christ's holy church that by your teaching and example they may be guided to accept God's grace for themselves, to profess their faith openly, and to lead a Christian life. If so, say, I do. Great. reason. I simply ask you, do you love God? And do you want God to love you? And will you let God love you? Grayson Avery, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May God's purposes find themselves deeply rooted in your heart, Grayson. And may your love for him and his love for you grow through your entire life. And do you love God? Adeline, Morgan, do you love God? And do you want God to love you? Will you let God love you? Adeline, Morgan, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May God's grace follow you all the days of your life, and may you discover in the midst of God's love your very heartbeat. In Jesus' name. We also want to receive Kevin into membership. You might have wondered, how is it that Kevin's not a member of the church, but Kevin is really, by adoption, our own native son. So we welcome you, and simply ask, as long as you're a member of the United Methodist Church, will you hold it with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, say, I will. Right hand of Christian fellowship is extended. And friends in the community, what do you say to them? With God's help. We light these candles as a sign of baptism to be burnt through the service, and then following the service to be taken home along with your certificates of baptism to be lit, an annual reminder of the gift of baptism on this day. Grace and peace to you. Please return as we have photographs with you following the service. Congratulations. And this is Hoffman, Louis Hacks, our special children's time. Children, come forward.
Each and every one of you. I am thankful for your families who bring you guys here. I am thankful for Beth and Robin, who help me all the time and help you guys in Sunday school. And I'm very thankful for this church. And I hope you guys think about all those things you are thankful for and that you tell the people who mean something to you how thankful you are to them, whether it's Thanksgiving or the middle of March or the middle of July or August or right now, right? So why don't we bow our heads and say a prayer? I say, hey God, thank you for giving me so much to be thankful for.
Thank you for giving me so much to be thankful for.
Help me remember to be thankful. Amen.
Sharon Sheffield has wanted to join the church for several weeks and finds herself traveling a lot. She's with us today, and if you'll rise where you are, I'll simply extend the right hand of Christian fellowship to you and ask you, as long as you remember now, to be a United Methodist Church. Will you uphold with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? She will, and so we welcome Sharon as well. Following the service, if you go outside, have a cup of coffee with Sharon, and remind her, why it is she came to join us. I think she could tell you what a wonderful congregation this is. And Sharon, we extend the right hand of Christian fellowship to you. Welcome. Bless your mind. Sharon brings a wealth of experience from Fort Smith, Arkansas, the United Methodist Church, and we're delighted she's going to be on one of our teams this year and help us be a more welcoming, even more welcoming congregation. What joys and concerns do you bring? Where have you seen God acting this week? Safe travel across the country from Florida. They drove with a child on board and in the car. Glad you're with us again this week. Where else have you seen God this week? We had the privilege of going to Orlando, and Beth had a conference there, and I was a kept man for a few days. It was really great fun. Went with her just for the price of the airline ticket, so that was fun. And we saw the Tiffany Museum, the Morse Museum of Tiffany glass. It was really cool, beautiful, there in Winter Park. Yes? Bonnie Strand is having surgery on Wednesday for a broken wrist she sustained while gardening. So prayers for Bonnie. Will you carry those home with you? That would be lovely. Who else? Elizabeth. Oh no, Andy.
I would just like to say I saw God present in the meeting we had around diversity and inclusion that I went to earlier this week.
A meeting of inclusion. Thank you, Andy. Where else? Anybody see God at the baptism this morning? I did. I saw God. Who else? Do you anticipate seeing God this week? Where?
Memphis,
what's that?
Memphis, Tennessee.
In Memphis? She's going to see God in Memphis. All in Memphis. Okay. I anticipate seeing God along with the rest of our family available for Thanksgiving dinner at our house this week. Where else?
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm. All right. I played a little bit on the turkey call earlier, because one of the things that turkeys remind me of is that the male turkey, the gobbler, is always ready to respond. Even if the thunder cracks above, it will respond. And the call and response of that bird, which we sometimes enjoy on Thanksgiving Day and other foods, tells me that we want to be ready to respond too. Ready to respond in gratitude for what God provides. Join me in our community prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for food and remember the hungry. We thank Thee for health and remember the sick. We thank Thee for friends and remember the friendless. We thank Thee for freedom and remember the enslaved. May these remembrances stir us to service, that Thy gifts to us may be used for others. Jesus Christ. Amen. Cast your anxieties on God, for God cares about you. Hear ye labors for the Lord, your rest is assured in our Lord Jesus Christ. From labor and from emotional and spiritual anguish, rest. God cares about you. Your pardon is complete. Would you join me in silent prayer? Holy God, rescue us from a world that would wrap us around its axle, with worries and cares and concerns 24/7 on every news cycle. Rescue us from fears that overwhelm, from sorrows that would drown, from limited imagination, from the anxieties that take over life. Rescue us. Bring us to a broad and beautiful land. In a spiritual journey, help us to see that your grace and our gratitude are linked. That your promise and our prayers are connected. That we, your people, can come to praise you. In Jesus' name, we pray these things, even as he taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise as we sing to you.
kingdom tomorrow, we offer our gifts for God's presence to be recognized right here, right now in our lives. And so with gratitude, we bring our gifts for the work of the kingdom. Amen.
God, from whom all blessings flow.
Sustained us through the tough times, and that you cheer us on in the good times. Thank you for your many blessings, Lord, and for this congregation in Jesus Christ. Amen.
You may be seated. Our scripture today is Luke 17, 11 through 19. It's on in the Bible on page 852 and on the screens. Please join with me in our scriptural meditation. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. Jesus cleanses 10 lepers. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Pray with me. Holy God, bless us to be a blessing with others. Allow us to develop an attitude of gratitude. Strengthen us in our conviction and our love for you. And let your love touch our hearts. Through Jesus Christ. Amen. Weren't 10 cleansed? Weren't 10 cleansed and only one, this foreigner, this outsider, this person of Samaria, has come back to say thank you? This Bible illustrates the problem of entitlement, which was a serious problem in all of human history and is with us still to this day. Now, I believe that if we were to practice just one spiritual practice in order to change the world, it would be to learn to be grateful. Gratitude would change the world. Gratitude may not be our first impulse in life, but it is the heart of wisdom. Gratitude is the antidote for entitlement, the gateway to a whole new way of living. The source of transformation is gratitude, and maybe our highest calling as persons of faith. Meister Eckhart, the 13th century spiritual writer and mystic as a Christian, said, "If the only prayer you ever say in your life is thank you, it will be enough." Thank you is the heart of wisdom and the most important practice for us as Christians. Gratitude is at the heart of Christianity. The very power of the Holy Spirit is expressed when we practice gratitude in our lives. And it gets away from us. We get wrapped around the axle of the world's worries. We get wrapped around the axle of our own concerns. We get wrapped around the axle of our own problems. And gratitude is the antidote for that. Author John Krauk, a California attorney, turned his attitude and eventually his life around through the practice of gratitude. It seems one January that his law practice, his relationships, and his financial solvency were all in jeopardy. And when he decided that he would spend the next year doing one simple thing to turn things around, Mr. Crowley resolved to write 365 thank yous by hand, one for each day, for a whole year. He began by handwriting the 10 thank you notes that he needed to for people for the Christmas presents that he had received, and this transformed his life and became the book, The Simple Act of Gratitude. Now, a judge in the Los Angeles Superior Court, Krauk views gratitude as the natural, though often neglected, human response to God. Do you remember those turkey calls? The tom turkey is always ready to respond. Remember God's call? How is it we might be able to be ready at a moment's notice to respond with thanksgiving to God? Well, this thank you project progressed for Mr. Crowley and experienced God's grace as the fruits of saying thank you came back to him. And as he experienced God's grace, he grew into appreciating life. And as he appreciated life, both the good times and the bad, he came to understand the blessings that were coming his way, and it completely transformed him. Gratitude, I'd like to say, is not a prop, it's not a program, it's not a plug-in, it's a way of life. Developing the attitude of gratitude is a life skill worth practicing for our benefit and for the transformation of the world. Because gratitude has the power to change everything. Our founder, John Wesley, often wrote about acts of mercy and acts of piety, stating that thanksgiving is inseparable from prayer. Echoing St. Paul's words in 1 Thessalonians, "Give thanks to God in all circumstances." Wesley sought for his followers a heart of appreciation, even as they followed Jesus Christ. And a heart of appreciation in every circumstance is a tall, tall order in some people's lives. But in a marked contrast to the desperate ingratitude, greed, and egoism of his day, Wesley believed that gratitude was an antidote to people's fears. He believed it was a cure to people's anguish and isolation. He believed in the power of attitude to change people's lives forever, and he encouraged them to to mix prayer and thanksgiving, which are inseparable in their daily walk of faith. He discovered in gratitude a cure for a deeply ingrained feeling of entitlement. Who here has ever been down to Park Meadows Mall? All right, don't go there on Christmas. I can tell you that's a bad idea. Yeah, the parking spots are like this wide, right? And everybody, oh my gosh, it's avarice for a parking spot. In the extreme, entitlement reigns in our lives in ways that we may not recognize, except when someone leans on their horn at you because you're not getting out of your spot fast enough. And mostly that's because the spots are so tiny you can't open the door of your car to squeeze in. Attitude of gratitude is something that we develop as an antidote to rampant entitlement. One day at another church which I have served, I watched a visiting couple come forward for Holy Communion. And my focus on Holy Communion is on each individual as they walk forward. And if I know you, I'll try to say your name, offer you the sacraments. And it's a very solemn occasion. But this couple was visiting. They were near retirement age, and the man wore a sweatshirt that said, "What don't you understand about the word no?" I wondered, what must he be thinking? What did he want to communicate with the world? And why would his wife let him get out of the house dressed like that? Well, the next Sunday, the vacationers came back to church, and this time he wore a t-shirt that read, "I can only be nice to one person a day, and today is not your day." And then below it, it says, "Tomorrow doesn't look too good either." I'm sure they're very nice people, but why is it that we always seem to want to keep people at arm's length? What is it that makes us feel so isolated, so alone, so fearful, that we even keep God at arm's length? Our entitlement is rooted in the notion that we are somehow owed things and have no responsibility for the things that we have. Responsibility, able to respond. And I challenge you that you are able to respond, even if you think you're not. Entitlement is a deep self-centeredness that assumes everything is my right, my due, an attitude that replaces concern for others with the preoccupation with myself and my needs. It makes my needs paramount, an object of worship, while others who do not rush to meet my needs are mocked as an object of ridicule, or we just lean on the car horn. Get out the way, get out the way, get out the way. Entitlement enables me to maintain my distance, you see. My own self-importance, my isolation in the illusion of absolute independence as opposed to God's interdependence with each and every human being. Rush, rush, rush. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Fast, fast, fast. And ignore the people around me. Entitlement needs a cure. Like the lepers cured in Luke's gospel, we wander off like the nine because somehow this good thing that has happened and we deserve it. And according to Jesus, this is sin. Theologian and preacher Charles L. Brown describes what may have happened to the other nine. It's not written about in the Bible, but we are free to consider what happened to those nine who were healed but did not return. He writes that one waited to see if the cure was for real. One waited to see if it would last. One said he would see Jesus later. See you later, Jesus. One decided that he never had leprosy in the first place. One said that he would have gotten well on his own. One gave the glory to the priests, because Jesus sent him to the priests to show. And as they went, I think that's really a very important sentence in this passage. As they went, in obedience to Christ, they were healed. One said, "Oh well, Jesus didn't really do anything." And if you read the passage very carefully, Jesus doesn't do anything. He tells them to be on their way to show their cleanliness to the priests. One said, "Any rabbi could have done the same thing." And finally, Reverend Brown says that one said, "I was really feeling much better after all in the first place." What's our excuse? What is our excuse today that keeps us from expressing gratitude? What is our excuse from keeping us from acknowledging the blessings of God? What is our excuse for staying isolated and keeping God at arm's length and remaining wrapped around the axle of the world's worries, cares, and conundrums when God is calling us personally to account? Within the Christian faith, it's taught that one of the highest religious duties and privilege that we can exercise is for us to observe the Eucharist. The Eucharist, which in Greek means literally to give thanks. To give thanks. Indeed, Reverend Jenny Wheeler, pastor of the Community United Methodist Church in Huntington Beach, California, says that she believes that gratitude is more a thing caught than taught. Right? It has a ripple effect. And so if you want our children and grandchildren to catch it, this vision of gratitude, that we have to embody gratitude in our own lives. Gratitude is different than guilt. Just this morning, I'm remembering a friend from high school, Carla Dickinson, who constantly would say, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." Poor Carla, who's passed away now. Her father was an alcoholic. And all she could think to say then was, "I'm sorry." We tell her, "You don't have to say I'm sorry to us." Now that's different than gratitude. Instead of "I'm sorry," God is asking you to say thank you. God is asking me to say thank you. In fact, this pastor at the Community Methodist Church says with Psalm 118 at worship, as she begins each worship service, "This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." What would it be like if you and I said something similar each day as we woke up in the morning? This is the day, both good and bad, imbued with the possibilities of the Creator in Christ. This is the day, good and bad and struggles and challenges. This one, this day, this next 24 hours is the day that God would change us from the inside out and make us whole again. Gratitude has a ripple effect. Like a stone being thrown into a pond, it makes little waves that flow out to the edges of our lives. Generosity is like a puddle. When you step into it, it ripple flows to affect everyone we meet. The contagious nature of gratitude, it's more a thing caught than taught, means that our acts of compassion and mercy work to transform the world. That our prayers and our thanksgiving marry to feed the whole world. And it starts with our own souls. It starts with our own hearts being changed and moving into our neighborhoods and into our communities and into our world. I'm going to ask us at this moment to take 60 seconds, 1 minute, to silently count your blessings. Would you do that with me? Count your blessings. Go ahead. That you have more blessings on your mind and heart than you realize, that it simply requires a moment of silent reflection to understand all the gifts that you've been given. Accepting God's grace is paramount, you see. For if we're going to find any peace in life, if we're going to find any hope in life, if we're going to find any profit in our thrashing about in this life, gratitude is the antidote. It's the antidote. The self-involvement and self-love and self-indulgence. Gratitude for the lives that God has given to us is the gospel lesson for today. For if we learn to celebrate life as a gift and express our thanksgiving for the gift, this changes everything. When we make time to express our gratitude, to catch the Spirit and share the blessing, the world becomes an entirely different place. Life and days become an entirely different object when we're not chasing after things, but appreciating people. The lesson of the gospel is give thanks. Because thanks has a way of changing things, including our stubborn perceptions. A guard in the Kingston Penitentiary, where some of Canada's worst criminals are housed, shared some wisdom, which I will share with you in a minute. My first thought was, what's the worst crime that a Canadian could commit? It's like stealing donuts from a Tim Hortons, right? That would be the worst thing they could do. Or maybe there'd be some altercation around a hockey game, I don't know, but I'm teasing. Of course, Canadians can do bad things too. But this guard said that the real baddies in Kingston Penitentiary are those who can never say thank you for anything. Whatever you do for them, they just can't. But once an inmate begins to express gratitude for little favors, little helps, and then begins to thank God, change has already begun in them. He may have years more to serve in his prison term, but he's liberated. Hope begins to reign, and at the end of the road, there is hope, renewing life. And in that hope, there is life. And in life, there is God's grace abundant. What are the prisons that you and I are living in? And how might we break the bars of the world's grip on us by saying thank you to God? Gratitude has the power to change people's lives intimately, convincingly, one at a time, personally, and for all time, to transform our perspectives. This passage of Luke hints at the fact that Jesus offers this leper, this Samaritan, more than he offers the others. You see, the first night he only gave healing. This one he gave healing, and somehow the Samaritan discovered something in the bargain. Wholeness. He discovered wholeness. A deeper salvation in addition to simple healing. His faith has prompted him to return to the feet of Jesus in thanksgiving, and with personal contact and personal obedience to God is signifying a soul healing that's more than skin deep. The Lord not just healed his body, but touched his soul. When our hearts are touched, friends, that's where real transformation begins to unfold. So for the next 4 days, I'm going to challenge you to something, and that is that as you go to bed tonight, I want you to pick 5 things that you're thankful for, okay? And as you fall asleep, you've listed those 5 things in your head, you might say them out loud, tell your spouse what you're doing so they don't think you're weird. They think you're weird anyway if they're modest about it, because I'm weird. 5 things. And in the morning, wake up and say 5 different things that you're grateful for. In the same spirit, in the same emotion, in the same recognition of the blessings that you have received. That's the challenge of this week. So that when you come to the Thanksgiving table, you're already primed and prepped and ready to say what you're thankful for. And it's different for every person. I'm recalling this morning my nephew Arthur, who when he was about 19, the Broncos got the quarterback, Peyton Manning, to come and play with him. And he was very, very excited about that. And he said in the circle as we gave each person around the family the opportunity to say what they're thankful for. I am thankful, he said, for Peyton Manning's giant football brain. Okay, so he's 19. This is what he's excited about, right? Thank God for Peyton Manning's giant football brain. Well, that may not be the most important thing, but it made us laugh and it made us realize what a blessing it is together. And who knows? Those small things may multiply into something very, very significant in our life, in yours, and in mine. What can we do to cultivate an attitude of gratitude? Simple as it sounds, it may be the most important thing for us to do as people of faith. An attitude of gratitude, for if thank you is the only prayer you can ever muster, it'll be enough. It'll be enough. Remember, sit at the kids' table this year. All right? It's the great conversation. It's the best turkey you'll ever eat. And they might even laugh at your jokes. Amen. Our closing hymn, Come Ye Thankful People, Come. And remember, Tuesday night at the Lutheran Church on Table Mesa, we're going to have a community Thanksgiving. There will be pie. Just saying. Just saying. Please stand. Self-possession and entitlement. Let God's love reign. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.